Today I'm in Kilmainham in Dublin South Central, a four-seater extending from the Liberties and Harold's Cross in the east to Cherry Orchard in the west and Chapel Izzard in the north. Among the other large areas here are Crumlin, Drimna and Ballyfermot. It's an unusual constituency, being one of just two in the last Dáil without either a Fianna Fáil or a Fine Gael TD. The outgoing TDs are Angus O'Snoddy of Sinn Féin, Breed Smith of Solidarity People Before Profit, Joan Collins, who you saw last night on that debate, she's of Right to Change, and Patrick Costello of the Greens. Dublin South Central is also a constituency where a considerable number of areas are officially classified as disadvantaged. No surprise then that here, as in many places, voters say the rise in the cost of living is one of their main issues. Our reporter Helen Donoghue has been talking to people about their concerns.
The prices of stuff now, and it's tough enough.
Oh yeah, everything's really expensive now, yeah.
We've far too many apart hotels and student accommodation and not enough social housing.
And I think it is the housing crisis and the cost of living.
People in Dublin's Liberties outlining some of the big issues for this area.
Went to the supermarket, get a weekly shop, normally about 150 quid or so. 300 and something odd quid for basically the same groceries and things. Stunned I was. I was actually shocked. I got the bonuses and things. Yeah, like, what sort of, you have to put them off your rent and your gas and your electricity.
We have a chicken stew. And chicken stew is the favourite.
Here at Little Flower Penny Dinners on Mead Street, they've been helping those in need for over a century. General Manager is Ruth Harkness.
The cost of living is the major concern.
They cater for 40,000 people a year, but in the past year, they say they've also started collecting food to give out through food banks.
People are saying they can't afford to heat water in their homes, so the request for things like wet wipes has really skyrocketed in the last few years, because people just can't afford to wash the way they used to. Nowadays, they know how much it costs to cook a joint of meat, so they'd prefer a microwavable meal because it's much cheaper to heat and eat. The cold weather's just started to come in, so we will see this where people are staying in bed because they are afraid to put the heat on. They just can't afford to heat their homes.
Among their volunteers is Brian Robinson.
Yeah, we deliver to very vulnerable people that can't afford to look after themselves.
While he helps people who are on the margins, he says housing is a concern for him too.
I'm living in a little cottage, and my brother bought that in 95 for about £27,000, and now they're 300. I'm an actor, so I'm not working full time, you know. I'm in the gig economy, so I gave up the idea of having a mortgage a long time ago, so I don't think I'll ever own a house. I'll probably always be a renter.
Much of this constituency is disadvantaged or marginally below average, according to the Pubble Index, with just a few parts regarded as affluent. Here at the Sullis Project, they helped more than 800 young people last year. 17-year-old Kenzie says they need more places to go.
We have no green space in the area for sports, no place for activities. Like, I could play for Oliver Bond Celtic, and I'm having to go up to Drimley to play football, like the train at 9 and 10 o'clock in the night, and we can't get numbers up because people are living so far. I don't know what they expect us to do. Like, you get in trouble for if you're kicking the ball on the street, and they want us to stay out of trouble, but give us activities to do. Like,
he also says housing is an issue.
The amount of homeless people you see, and I know people might think, but they bought themselves into them, but a lot of them haven't. And even at that, like, I know people like who are living with their ma and their two brothers and sisters with their nanny and their uncle, all in like a two-bedroom house, three-bedroom house.
Like, a lot of young people going into apprenticeships in this community. They're not even talking about owning their own houses. They're talking about how they can get a job, how they can get a car.
Dylan Walsh is a youth worker here.
It's hard for them. A lot of early skill leavers, they're trying to find their own path. Like, there's young people that we're working with now in the workshop we have here, which is a barbershop, and the yard, which is a wood turning shop. They have to kind of create their own opportunities, because there's not really great opportunities around here in terms of the stuff they want to do.
And that was Dylan Walsh ending that report from Helen Donoghue. With me are youth worker Aisling Golden and Noel Boyce, who's area president for Southwest Crumlin with the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. You're both very welcome and thanks for being with us this afternoon. Aisling, you live in Drimna and you work in the Liberties. From your own point of view and the point of view really of people you know and work with, what are the big issues in this election?
So I've spent my entire life in the South Central area, living and working there, and have seen over the last couple of years a real loss of hope starting to occur amongst people in terms of this never-ending cycle of cost of living and housing crisis in particular. I think people in, you know, when COVID hit, felt there was a solidarity of having to come together and work our way through that. And then we came out of that and we came straight into the increase in of prices of everything going right across the board. But yet wages is not increasing to match that. So we have people who have decent, you know, well enough paid jobs who are really struggling to live in a community that, as you've said in your report, actually is slightly below the standard living, and it's still too much to be able to kind of navigate the weekly kind of expenses. So from housing, where you're talking for a two-bedroomed former corporation house, 350,000 to buy a house in Crumlin and or Drimna, absolutely way beyond the means of anybody if they're solo, and beyond the means of most people even if they're in a couple. Some of the apartments around the area in the Liberties are charging up to €3,000 rent a month. Absolutely, again, completely out of the ability for most people. Young people, I think, who we're working with in Sullis Project aren't even seeing themselves represented in the community anymore. There has been apartment blocks have gone up, but they don't feel that it's for them. They don't feel that they'll ever be able to live in them. They don't feel that they will be able to stay within the community where they've grown up. And that really basic stuff has just become unreachable.
No, let's bring you in. You work with the St. Vincent de Paul, mainly in Crumlin. Tell us about your work.
Well, St. Vincent de Paul, we do home visitation. The reason we do home visitation is we hope we get a better view of what's happening. But over the last few years, just following on what Aisling said, we've had a significant increase in first-time callers. And first-time callers would be people, maybe there's two pays going into the house.
Mm-hmm. So these are people in work, as I suppose.
Absolutely.
From the outside, you're looking in and saying, well, listen, there have never been so many people in work, but you find they still need to come to you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's those, and there's been a significant increase in the number of requests from people we have helped before. So over the last few years, it really is significant. And the other thing is the majority of what they're looking for is help with food and energy. And we tend to start thinking that, well, that's normal that they're looking for help with those two things. But it's really not normal that people this day and age should be looking to a charity to get some food and some energy.
And the double child benefit payments, the double social protection payments, the energy credits, are they helping?
They're helping okay, but they're once off. And the energy things, that's grand. But come now Christmas or after Christmas, it's going to be fierce. But the one-off payments, social welfare payments, we got a call the other day, and there's a girl, a lady, and she has one daughter. So she spent that on buying a Christmas present, a decent Christmas present for her daughter. So they are helping, but they're just... they're not continuous. We would much prefer to see an increase in the weekly social welfare payments.
Aisling, given that there is money in the coffers, I mean, every day we hear more promises or more pledges. We hear the parties talking about how, say, they would spend the Apple tax billions. Are there, in your view, initiatives or changes that could make a real difference to people now and in the future?
Absolutely. I think a huge piece at the moment is there's an exhaustion amongst people waiting for the tax credit or the the tokenistic kind of approach to it. And people don't want the little bit of extra money at Christmas time or maybe a small increase into the return to school grant. They want something that looks at proper structural change and permanent change that brings that stress of going from one thing to the other every month, going, OK, what is it this month that I have to pay for? Investment into childcare would be an absolutely huge one with that, that we could say, I can bring my children up here, I can go to work without having to actually, you know, in my own family's case, my brothers and sisters relying on my parents to remind the children all of the time. And of course, people will do all of these things from a place of love, but it's about giving people security. So if we could have, you know, definitely something around housing to make the biggest thing that we need affordable for people. Childcare is a massive piece. Energy prices absolutely need to come down, and not come down as in we'll give you a token in the month of December. It's they need to come down right across the board so that relief can be felt by people permanently.
Noel, from your perspective, if you were in power, what would you do?
Well, the first thing I would do is the social welfare payments. I would increase those because they're the ones, it would give people a better standard of living, of course. But as well as that, most people we would visit are just one unexpected bill away from a crisis.
What, that they're kind of cogging along, but if something happens, if somebody gets ill or whatever, there's trouble.
Absolutely. That's the way it is the whole time. And hopefully our society, the St. Vincent de Paul, we can prevent that for a while, but it's only for a while, you know. Mm-hmm. And one other thing, Rachel, that's happened is we normally, we can't let people regard St. Vincent de Paul as a second social welfare. So we only help people from week to week or, you know, a few times.
You don't want people becoming reliant
exactly.
on you.
But what's happened lately is we have more people on sustained help from us. Like we'll tell them, well, for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we'll give you so much. Mm-hmm. And that's a change because we don't want to, we can't sustain being a second social welfare mm-hmm. to these people.
Listen, thank you both very much. Just before we go to a break, we were having a few words beforehand, Aisling, and you mentioned that at the Youth Project where you work, you invited a number of politicians in. They came, but what fascinated me was how many young people came along as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to say thank you for all of the candidates who did show up. So a huge part that we do in Solus Project is try to encourage our young people to be active, to get involved in politics, to understand what's going on in their area and to understand what role the people who are elected to represent them, what they can do. So we invited all of the candidates for the area. I think 8 came on the night and we had about 60 or 70 young people, some slightly over 18 and will be able to vote, but a good few probably between the age of 16 and 18 as well.
So all actually, involved, all asking questions.
All asking questions. Mental health was a massive one. They wanted to know about what they consider to be a crisis of mental health amongst young people, what the candidates were going to do. Housing came up, but absolutely brilliant from the age of 15, 16 to encourage that involvement and to make sure that the candidates get the message that actually you're representing everybody in the community, not just the people who might vote for you on the day.
Well, like I say, thank you both very much for joining us here in Kilmainham this afternoon. Aisling Golden there, and we also heard from Noel Boyce. We'll be back with more on the News at One.